You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show. Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com. The James Beard Awards are an annual ceremony celebrating the best and brightest talent in the world of food and beverage. It's a great chance to check in with the who's who in food to see what trends have emerged, what the future holds for gastronomy, and which personalities stand out as mentors for this generation of food professionals. The 2013 James Beard Awards were held at Avery Fisher Hall in Lincoln Center. Hosted by actor Oliver Platt, this year's theme was a spotlight on food and film. Surprises included a tie for Outstanding Chef between David Chang and Paul Kahan, and Wiley Dufresne finally taking home Best Chef NYC after 7 consecutive nominations. We caught up with him right after the win.
I just won a Beard Award, Best Chef New York City.
How does that feel after so many nominations?
It's very nice. It feels great. You know, it's... They're all good friends of mine and all equally deserving, so I feel fortunate to be in the mix.
Danny Bowien, the man behind Mission Chinese, won the James Beard Award for Rising Star Chef, much to the delight of the crowd. We caught up with him right after the win.
It's all like whizzing by so fast. Like, I mean, hopefully this inspires other cooks to be able to go out on a limb and do something that they're really passionate about and live out their own dreams.
As we mingled with the crowd of food pioneers and celebrities, we were curious to know exactly what was in everybody's refrigerator at home. The answers we got were both entertaining and insightful.
I'm Jacques Pepino. Sometimes Jacques Pepin. It goes from my refrigerator at home. I have everything. I have eggs too, and then I have, you know, when I have caviar, truffle, my wife had a can of truffle, put it in the refrigerator next to the beer. She said, why? Because I say, when people ask, do you have a beer? You say, yes, next to the truffle. Looks good, you know. So.
Hey, I'm Chef Marcus Samuelson from Red Rooster. Right now there will be some champagne because since I won the beer on Friday, me and my wife, we had a lot of champagne and it was also Ethiopian Easter, so we have a lot of Ethiopian leftover food left, so it's great. We celebrated, you're breaking fast, basically, by Easter, so it's a lot of chicken stew and lamb stew.
My name is Jimmy Bissonette from Toro Copa in Boston. Right now I have vegan chili that I made from a veggie CSA a friend gave me. I have some duck prosciutto, some wild boar salami, ton of eggs, a ton of dried fish, anchovies, and beverechos.
Hi, I'm Melissa Clark. I'm a reporter at the dining section of the New York Times. I have the best leftovers. I just did an article about chicken wings, so I have a bag full of chicken wings. I happen to have some anchovy hollandaise left over from asparagus from the weekend. And the best thing of all, lemon curd. I did a lemon curd. That's a pretty good fridge, right? Yeah, and then I've got, you know, all the kid food. But aside from that.
My name's Sean Brock. I live in two cities, Charleston, South Carolina, and Nashville, Tennessee.
And your restaurants?
I have three restaurants. Two of them are called Husk, and the other is McCready's. My home in Charleston, a lot different story. My home in Nashville, there's soy sauce, sriracha, old pizza, PBR, and Duke's mayonnaise.
Wiley Dufresne from New York City. What's in my fridge? There's a lot in my fridge, actually, yeah. A lot. Yeah, I mean, there's Girl Scout cookies of all shapes and sizes. There's ice cream cake that my wife makes all the time. There's lots of baby food. There's a staff meal from WD-50. There's staff meal from Alder. There's a lot of food. Our fridge is well-stocked.
My name is James Ozlan, and I'm the editor of Sever Magazine. What's in my fridge right now is a kind of real poor man's bouillabaisse that I made with some corgi that I bought at the Fairway Market on Saturday. A bunch of garlic rice that I also cooked at the same time. And probably about 55 other things that I can't or probably shouldn't list right now.
Phil Telepan, I'm from Telepan Restaurant. Oh my God, it's packed. We have grass-fed beef, wild king salmon from Alaska I just brought in. So we have organic strawberry, blueberries, and raspberries, Ronnie Brook yogurt, Brussels sprouts, snap peas, broccoli, cauliflower, Jarlsberg cheese, Pecorino Romano. We have Parmesan Reggiano. We have cloth-bound cheddar. We have homemade bread that I made with my 2-year-old starter that I created, a whole wheat and a regular starter. I have chili in the freezer. I have beef stew in the freezer. I have matzo ball soup in the freezer. I have a bean salad I made for my dinner with Cesare Casella's bean salad. Ronnie Brook milk, whole and skim. Cheerios, honey nut Cheerios. Wild cherry seltzer. Organic cranberry juice. Bottle of sake. Bottle of Casa Dragones tequila. I got some Vodklico from somebody gave me 3 years ago because I refused to drink it. And I have 2 bottles of Verdicchio wine that I'm waiting to have one night when I make linguine and clam sauce.
That's inventory, man.
That's fucking inventory,
is fucking
dude.
Inventory.
That's how I know my fridge.
The James Beard Awards are a great chance to get a pulse on trends, both emerging and fading. And we asked some notable food personalities what they were noticing most in today's culinary landscape.
I'm Mike Anthony, executive chef and partner of Gramercy Tavern. I hope to see us continue cooking with New York State grains, ancient grains.
Tandy Wilson from City House in Nashville, Tennessee. I mean, you know, all things Southern are getting bigger and bigger, but I see the world of sorghum growing tremendously. You know, it used to be finding a local producer that makes good sorghum and cooks it down the old way, grows the cane, all that stuff. And now we're starting to find all the different flavors and the different subtleties and different sorghums. So to me, that's a big trend and a big change.
My name is Alex Dupak, owner of Empeon Restaurants in New York City.
I'm not sure if it's a trend yet, but what I'm starting to feel is a focus on hyper-authenticity. And it's not just reflected in the food. It's reflected in the actual stage, the restaurant, the uniforms, the plateware there it goes on. And I'm excited to see chefs focus just as much on the frame as they are the picture.
Jose Garces, Garces Group. I think, you know, a greater impact or more a closer look at ethnic cuisines. I mean, I know it's been done out there, but really, like, bring some of those nuances out there. You know, bring them more in the spotlight. You know, you saw a lot of the awards today. You really didn't see that other than Cecilia Chang. You know, so I'd love to see, like, a great Indian restaurant be up for best new restaurant, you know, or you know, a great Thai place, etc. So the more ethnic cuisines, less of, I don't know, man, there's so much going on that it's like, let's keep going, you know. There's nothing really out there that's like irking me right now. So
Ken Oranger from Boston, Cleo Restaurant, Toro, soon to be Toro New York. I think what I'm excited to see a lot more of is a lot of vegetable driven food. You know, I think you know, the pork belly this, pork belly that, you know, a little tired of that. So, you know, it's nice to see a little more vegetable-driven, vegetable-focused, you know, forcing people to be a little bit more creative, working with their food. And I also am psyched to see a lot more interesting Asian food coming from different funky areas that you don't normally see. So food from obscure regions of China or from areas of northern Thailand or, you know, or southern Vietnam or whatever. So just little tiny microcultures of food from little minuscule areas you would never hear of years ago.
Jonathan Sawyer from the Greenhouse Tavern in Cleveland, Ohio.
What trends am I over, Zadek? Ramps? I mean, ramps. I love, yeah, ramps. So everyone's all of a sudden a forager because you can put a friggin' onion on a plate. So I'd like to see more interesting greens that are more readily available and some that are invasive. You know, garlic mustards are taking over the metro parks of greater Ohio, and you can get certified and encouraged to actually pull that invasive species. So I think something a little more positive like that is what I'm looking for.
Walking around the event was literally a tour through the Hall of Fame of food professionals, with legends like Jacques Pepin, Emeril Lagasse, and Danny Meyer mixing it up with their peers and newcomers alike. So who stands out above the crowd as mentors for an entire generation of food professionals?
the guys over at Levin Madison Park.
Well, I think Marcus Samuelson is really amazing.
I mean, I just ran into Jack Pepin downstairs, which is insane.
I mean, I mentioned John George and Phil Suarez in my speech. You know, I owe a lot to those guys. And
I'd say Cecilia Chang.
I mean, Jose Andres does so many things. I don't know how. There's so many hours in a day that he does what he does. And, you know, Danielle, you know, those guys. And then seeing Emerald up on the screen again, what he does is miraculous also.
There's a lot of people, I think, today by the two outstanding chefs, Paul and David, in many different ways. You look at David going into publications. I think he speaks to a whole generation. And I think, you know, that I think everyone is doing it. There's many ways to do it. And that's what Beard shows. It's very diverse in its storytelling and the chefs. And I think tonight showed that.
Award ceremonies are always a mix of fluff and substance, but the James Beard Foundation makes sure that by the time you leave, you've not only celebrated and enjoyed great food and cocktails, but learned something about the history of gastronomy. We were thrilled to be a part of the ceremonies, and we're excited to see where things are headed in the future. I'm Jack Inslee for HeritageRadioNetwork.org.